Welcome back, guys. DG, SMK, MOX. Dave Murray said it's already cooling off. It's like 72 degrees in Kansas City. So get ready for a good long stretch of really nice weather here. We deserve it. It's been pretty brutal lately. It is the Think Tank Perfect Day with Election Day and the primaries. We have two of our favorites, David Barklage, Alvin Reed, are with us. I walked in on you guys having a discussion. We'll come back to that discussion. I think it's really good. I liked what David was saying. It was really interesting. Overall, any campaigns that you saw that you were especially impressed by or unimpressed by? Anyone stand out to you?
I mean, no, not really. I mean, it's kind of business as usual. Maybe the Missouri governor's race is a little closer than I thought it would be at this time. I think Kehoe will prevail on that. But not really. Not really.
And Kehoe kind of came from behind, right? Wasn't Ashcroft the odds
on? Well, when it's all, I guess, when this all started, name recognition, all that. So he would have been. Yeah.
Ashcroft had the lead.
Yeah. You know, so, so not really. Just it's, I'm glad we'll get past the primary stage.
What did you think of, regardless of the candidates themselves, what did you think of the approach between Bell and his opponent?
About what I thought it would be. I'm the progressive. He's the Republican backed whatever. You know, she's out for herself and really isn't representing, you know, the best interest of the district. So they kind of stuck to their whatever their opening salvos were. I don't think they strayed very far from either.
And Dave?
The funny thing for me as a Republican in the city is that an outstate, you know, you're a rhino or you're a crook or, you know, you help the communist China target on our military facilities. In St. Louis, the worst thing is to be labeled a Republican. I'm like, wow, that's the killer thing. It's like, I'm not going to tell people what I am. But no, you know, I think actually it's not been as bad as a race as people think. I mean, I think it's, you know, the candidates have gotten out there and been able to distinguish themselves. I think it's a real problem, Republican primary. Someone the other day said, David, you know, all you all talk about is immigration. It's like, well, that's all the media talks about. And candidates, I mean, we'll go down a list of 10 things, but immigration's like 9 out of 10. And to that regard, it sort of forces everybody's hand to talk about the same thing. So I find unremarkable the Republican primaries in terms of really discussing policy or differences.
I know it's been a lifetime since 2020, but if you would have told me, not even January 7th, but just within the months after that, that in the 2024 primaries, everyone would be racing to align themselves with Trump, I would have been surprised.
I wouldn't.
No.
Because the specter was always there that he was going to run again. And so that was the endorsement, that was the approval that you were going to have if he was going to run again, you know. And once a couple of years went by and I don't mean this humorously, that he literally wasn't in jail or going to be tried or anything like that. Well, then he was smooth sailing to the nomination, and that was that.
The strength of his endorsement is a indictment of the weakness of the Republican Party, because, I mean, typically your endorsement maybe helps some, you know, these endorsements. But in Trump world, you know, there's 43% of voters, you know, are moved by something like that, in Republican voters. And to that regard, it's sort of the cult of Trump. It's not really ideology. It's not anything other than Donald Trump says, I'm fully behind you. And who knows why he makes those decisions and he endorses multiple people in the same races. To me, it is a indicative of the Republican Party going to have to come to grips, when Trump's not there, what they stand for and what, where they're going to find their value.
What are the options? I mean, that was the question I was going to ask you, is when Trump is gone one way or another, whether he loses or he wins and then he's you know, done, two and out, what are the options? You don't go back to Reagan Republicanism, do you?
I think that those that stood forth kind of against him, Liz Cheney, others, I think they could step right back into the mantle. I'm drawing a blank on her name. South Carolina.
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. God, boy. You know, out of race, out of mind. I think she positioned herself that, you know, say, like, I'm not Donald Trump. And some of that stuff I'm just not down with. And I think that there will be enough of a percentage of people that aren't interested in voting other than the fact that Donald Trump is involved. Well,
I think the low turnout, especially with all the spirited primaries, is in part, again, goes back to Donald Trump. A lot of Republican voters are just going to wait till November. They're going to go out and vote for Donald Trump and go home. And that is the risk when you have the leader of a party who's all about that own their self. And we aren't seeing the Republican Party, the billionaires, investing in party infrastructure. Republicans haven't invested in early voting, in understanding what the new system is. And if you look at the midterms, you know, Republicans should have wiped out Democrats' midterms because of the economy and all those issues. I think that Trump loses, and I think that it's going to be probably a civil war to actually get the Republican Party talking about, like in the 80s when you had the gold standard, you had you know, Kemp, Graham, Gingrich, all these different people through the 80s and early 90s actually talking about fundamental economic, fiscal policy, world policy. And to that regard, I think it's going to be an interesting change. But I do think this could be the election where we start to see one party or the other moderate. And when one party moderates, I think that cuts the legs out of the extremist in the other party, and it causes both to moderate.
I was going to, if it came up, I was going to say that. I said, like, the vice presidential pick by
I read your mind.
The vice president. I was going to say, like, see, that's a party that's moderating itself. And that's a party that realizes that you can't be everything to everybody. Let's start now. Maybe we don't get the job done in November, but let's start now.
I was saying at the very beginning of the show that I really wish that we could have a real debate, and not a highbrow William F. Buckley debate, but like a non-name-calling, crap-throwing debate about liberalism versus conservatism. I think it's time to have that in this country, because I don't think many people really know the difference. I'm not sure I really know the difference, because it's been so many years of sloppidopolis, and it's the end of democracy and the end of the country as we know it, and scare tactics. And I want to hear from Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Why are you better for the country? Why are you better for the middle class? Why are you not bad for wealthy people? And have the other side say intellectually why they're wrong, not just a bunch of silliness.
Well, we've got to force the media and media interest and social media to force that debate, because they are actually taking it the other way.
Yeah.
I think that immigration sells papers, sells airtime, and to that regard, you know, it's like it's got one news story after another, and that's all it's talked about. But I mean, the media used to be the one that forced politicians to actually take stands on complicated issues, and they loved to get you know, by asking you a question and watch the guy's eyes glaze over. Now, you know, it's like, well, immigration, tell me, are you want to throw them out of the country? You want to haul them off? What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And it's almost baiting.
Yeah. Is there, with all the, how much of the Missouri ad tough talk is just tough talk, as opposed to, because they're all saying, like, hey, here illegally, or adios amigos, so we're going to round you up, and, you know, Bill Eigel saying we're going to find every single one, we're going to take them all out of here. Is it all just talk?
It's all just talk.
See, I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
Even though I normally would agree with you on most things, is that because of the federal government, two things have happened. One, you know, they're not addressing the border concerns, whichever side you're on. And I don't mean that from a partisan standpoint. And the second is that the federal government is coordinating through, you know, charities and non-state agencies. So states really don't know what's even happening in their own borders. To that regard, I think, and because it's gotten to be such a major issue, you know, 17 million people, that states are going to take actions that we will be surprised, disappointed. Some may say it's hopeful, whatever. But for example, you can send the guard to the border. You can take on ICE and say, we're going to hold these criminals or not. You can, you know, not let these kids go to school. You can punish charities for, you know, helping illegals. You can make it, you know, make it against law. There's a lot of things states have the rights to do. Some of them are things that are going to be overreach, like do you take people out of their homes and rip them out and take them across the state border and end them in Illinois? I mean, and, you know, there's already that play of some mayors and governors shipping people and buses to other states. And so I think the states are going to have a major part to it as long as the federal government fails to address it.
Okay, I just think that, okay, yeah, you're talking tough. All right. Until the roofer that supports your campaign calls you and say, like, you need to drop that. You need to drop it now. I'll be out of business. Mm-hmm. And it'll be the landscaper. And it'll be the roofer. And it'll be farm people. They'll say, like, okay, that's come on, that's enough of that.
So this race, the national race, now that it's firmed up, we know who is at the top of the ticket, we know who's at the bottom of the ticket. In the absence of an intellectual debate like I would like to see, it feels like it's going to be more of an energy and a vibe contest, and they couldn't be more different between Trump and Vance and Kamala Harris and Walz now. Walz especially seems to me to have, they call him the happy warrior. He's joyful. He's Midwestern. He's a former school teacher. I heard him say himself, don't demonize Trump's people. They're your brothers and your sisters and your neighbors. And you know, who's got the upper hand on that battle?
Well, between now and November, I couldn't even tell you. I do know this. Short attention span theater and what was going down at the middle of July might not be going down the first week of November, which would be hard to even believe, mm-hmm. but it's possible. And I think a message is such that I think every day one or two more people get turned off by the whole thing. And I guess, you know, since Democrats are right now the underdog, I would say, well, if one of ours gets turned off from the whole thing compared to two of theirs, we're doing pretty good.
So you think it's attrition?
Yeah, just attrition. And getting people out to vote. I still think more young people are going to vote than we think. I still think more women are going to get out to vote than we think.
I love both of your hopefulness, and I hope you're correct. Right. But, you know, young people are impacted. You know, they loved the Barack Obama hope.
Mm-hmm.
As my generation loved, you know, Ronald Reagan, it's Morning America, but I don't see that much. And I would actually wish that it would be energy and competing energy in any world we'd hope that. I'm afraid that's just going to come down to whoever technically exercises their campaign, because I don't trust Trump to be able to make that transition and talk big. And, you know, and I don't know how long the Democrats can do it if Trump sort of brings the campaign to that level. So, mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that it changes, but I think with Trump there, it is a, you know, a very, very tough time.
No, I agree with you. And that's the thing that we'll put it this way. I would be surprised if Harris won.
Now, I think Harris wins.
And I heard you say that earlier, and I'm okay. You know, I'd really be surprised. But it's August the 5th and September the 1st. Yeah, we'll see.
The whole world can change rapidly.
Yeah, like October the 1st.
The last 3 weeks.
We'll see. Right. You know, it's like I think what has gone on in the last couple of weeks, just I'm stating the obvious that, gosh, it would have been nice if somebody had decided I'm not going to run for president again, and this was all done in like a orderly, fashion.
Let's take a quick break. We welcome your phone calls. If you want to comment on something the guys are talking about or take us in a new direction here in the think tank, you can always call 314-436-7900, toll free from anywhere, 800-925-1120.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, guys. DGS Think Tank with David Barklage, Alvin Reed. We're going to switch to sports because Alvin is wearing a White Sox hat. And,
man, that's brave, too.
And we started talking about that. And someone made the point, and this feels true to me, that sports in general and the Cardinals in particular seem much more judgy, much more critical than maybe it's because I was younger. You used to go to a game, have a beer and a dog, and hang with your buddies, and drink too much and eat too much. And now it just feels very.
Well, there's more user feedback now, just like anything else.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, you hear it more. I mean, and it's just more out there and more available to you if you want to give it or get it.
But we were talking about, you know, how many newspapers have closed and how many institutions that this my generation grew up with. And the Cardinals is it is St. Louis. It is an institution. It is a brand. And who hasn't gone on a Friday night game or an afternoon game and the sun's setting? You feel like you're in the Field of Dreams.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm just saying is that as a guy from Cape Girardeau, I always take exception. Everybody gets down on them. It's like it's the institution. And it is, you want them to win occasionally. You want them to win all the time. But it's still, it's just part of my life. Yeah. So I love it.
I agree. And the baseball game is still refuse. You know, for me, I still feel like that. I still keep score. I can look around. Wow. Nobody's keeping score. I mean, like, right. But I still keep score at the game. And I just feel like it's therapeutic being at a baseball game. Yeah. And I have the MLB extra innings package so I can sit there at night, especially in the summertime. You know, it's like there's West Coast games and all that. And I'll sit there and I just watch people play baseball and manage both teams in my mind. And just I don't do that with other sports. Love to watch them. Big football fan. Don't do that with it.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it. Alvin said, because the White Sox have lost 21, going for the record now, and he said, you could put 9 of me's out there, and we'd win a game.
I honestly think we would figure out a way to win one game before we lost 21 games. Right.
And don't you think baseball personalities of all sports, they're more understated. You don't have, I mean, you've got superstars, but for the most part, it's definitely team sport. And to that regard, you tend to like baseball players. You feel good about them. And they seem like, you know, kids from Oklahoma or whatever. So.
Yeah, fit right in. Now, a couple of things. Guys strike out too much. I think that's part of the problem. I think that not only people my age, it's just like kind of like, nah, that's too much. That's not good. And you start in all that launch angle and all that stuff. Look, I get it. At the same time, it's like, oh, man, you struck out, and the guys were second and third, and we needed one run to this bottom of the eighth. We won the game. All you do is just get the dude home, and you struck out. That's a bad play in my book.
This shows why this is such a remarkable show, because the think tank on Election Day is talking about Americana and baseball and its best rather than the ugly world that we're seeing primaries.
And Kevin, you know this.
Thank you for this.
And you know
you're
this.
You're welcome.
I said, like, when the old Bush closed and this new one opened, I said, things are going to change when this new stadium opens because it's going to be about being seen instead of going to see the ball game. And that changed the dynamic, too.
All right. Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.